I didn't get to see those little girls singing. Turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, of course, we have the message of the Lord to King Solomon about the fact that God is in control and was in control of the nation of Israel. And the Bible makes it clear that even though we recognize these are truths given to Israel, we know that God is the sovereign God over the nations of the world. And that that all men owe to God praise and worship and honor, that all governments owe their existence and their rule to God Almighty, and they will all give account to God. But here in 2 Chronicles, obviously Israel being God's chosen people, there were some very specific warnings, some very specific teachings given to that nation. And certainly there is an application even for our country today, a country that is unique in all the world as to its foundation on its laws, on the Word of God, and its belief in God, and the land of many revivals of sent from God. So we want to look at a couple verses here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, and God can do that, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, and God can do that, or if I send pestilence among my people, and God can do that. And of course, as we think about this, it's speaking of that God is the God that is in rules over all. And there is nothing too hard for God. He says, when the nation sees that God has withholden the rain, and Israel was a very unique place. It had marginal rainfall. And if there was just a little bit less rainfall, it would have disastrous effect upon agriculture. And it was nothing for God to withhold the rain. And he did many times. And of course, we're reading the Bible about the time of Ahab and Elijah, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's a long time. And you think about that, it is a long time. It says, if the people recognize that God is withholding his blessing, if the people recognize that instead God is judging them as a nation, he says there's an answer. There is an answer. And of course, we all know the answer is found in verse 14. And of course, this is a conditional statement. If my people which are called by my name and shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, the fact is there's a lot of need for us to have a God who hears our prayers. I remember a number of years ago, Secretary of State Haig prevented the great preacher from Ireland, Ian Paisley, from coming to America to preach at the Fundamental Congress. Can't remember the last part of it. And it was a politically motivated, politically correct moment in Secretary of State Haig's career. And I was a young Christian at that time, and I heard about Dr. Bob Jones, Jr., praying an imprecatory prayer and praying that God would do something to this man who has stood in the way of the work of God. And it was within weeks, maybe days, Mr. Haig was no longer Secretary of State. Number one, we need Christians who can pray like that. And number two, we need to be, the people of God need to be right with God so they can pray like that. We have a lot of evil in our country. More evil than any of us really know. You know, I was thinking about the day in which we live today. I was not only thinking about what's taking place in government, but I was thinking about what's taking place in Christianity. And I shared this with my class. I said, you know, I've wondered why Noah could preach 120 years that the flood is coming and no one listened to him. Not one person. And I thought, how can that be? No one listened to Noah. He told them exactly what God was going to do. And I tried to picture that as to, you know, how could that be? And I realized that one of the problems of human nature, one of the problems of even the people of God, is that I think one of the real issues was everybody was saying, why should we believe this guy? Nobody's believing him. Nobody's believing him. And I thought about that. And it's amazing how Christianity has become you believe what the consensus believes. You believe what everybody else is so-called believing. Doesn't matter if it's the Bible. Doesn't matter if it's the truth. Just follow the crowd. Just follow the crowd. You know, weather vane Christians. I remember one time I approached a pastor about immodest apparel. And I talked about what the Bible said. About how men are supposed to be clothed modestly as well as women. And I remember his reply. He said, nobody believes that. As though that was the excuse not to believe the Bible. Nobody believes that. Wow. And the Lord tells Solomon, now when you see these things happening, there's a solution. I'm wondering, are you concerned? Are you concerned about what's happening in our nation? Do you understand what's happening in our nation? You know, gay marriage, that's a big thing. That's an amazing step towards wickedness. And to have a Supreme Court that okays gay marriage. Now, Supreme Court okayed murdering children. That makes it okay too. But this is my prediction. My prediction is, I hate to think that the Supreme Court is now going to have this transgender case and they're going to okay it. And if you don't understand what's happening, just read about the WikiLeaks on Clinton and Podesta. The DNC, the media, is trying, the next step is to make pedophilia legal. Horrible. Horrible. The direction our country's going. But you know what? It's not as horrible as what's happening in Christianity. That's not as horrible as what's happening in Christianity. You know what's happening in Christianity? Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on the earth? I never could understand how that could be, but now I'm getting to see it. I'm getting to see it. There's a mockery of righteousness. There's a mockery of holy living. There's a turning from old-fashioned Christianity with old-fashioned holiness. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And young people, you can almost see it. You can see young people just whoosh, right with the crowd. As I see this passage of Scripture, I see that there's a great need for revival. And I always like us to just take a couple minutes and see what God is saying here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. You know, there's a lot of things we could say about humbling ourselves. But you know, really the issue of humbling ourselves, it's a people who recognize they need God. It's a people that recognize that they need God. One of the messages of the prophets, it was the King Asa, I believe. And the prophet said to Asa, now, as long as you seek the Lord will bless you. But when you stop needing God and you seek the other gods of the world, then you will no longer have deliverance from me. Now you say, humility? Jesus said, we wept over Jerusalem in Matthew 23, verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how I would have gathered you around me, I'm paraphrasing, like a hen does her chicks, but you would not. But you would not. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. How much humility is characterizing the people of God today. How much humility. That is a sorry state. The lack of seeking the Lord. A lack of seeking the Lord. You know, it used to be God's people would seek the Lord. And the Lord would say, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. People genuinely sought the Lord and they heard the Lord. When's the last time you heard a testimony of a teenager or a newly saved Christian, where they sought the Lord and went to the Bible and God spoke to their heart. And they stood up and said, that's it. I got rid of that out of my life. And God said, no, don't go there. And I decided I was never going to go there again. When's the last time you heard that kind of testimony? You know what? Because the issue is people don't need God. Their brain is all that they need. They don't need God. They don't need His Word. It's evidenced by how few people have personal devotions. We won't, but it's really an attitude of humility. How much do we need God? We won't spend much time on the next one. The other one is self-explanatory. They humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I'd like to spend some time talking about this turning from their wicked ways. You know, God isn't really interested in words. God is not interested in words. I mean, He is, but you know what? He's not really interested in words. He's interested in action. You know, that's what the Old Testament word repentance was. Action. I think of Jeremiah 36, where the people of Israel were surrounded by Nebuchadnezzar's army. There wasn't any way to get out. Wasn't any way to get in. They were going to starve them out, and they did. And Zedekiah says, you know what? We need to obey the Lord. We need to set at liberty our Jewish brethren that we have put in as bond slaves. You know, there was a law that to people owed a debt, they would pay off their debt by becoming enslaved or a servant to the person they owed the debt to. Not like slavery in America, but what the Jews had done is they not only took these people Jewish brethren of theirs and made them their servants, but they kept them their servants. And even after the debt was paid. And they got used to that lifestyle. Well, anyway, Zedekiah says, no, you need to get to let these people go. We need to obey God. And after about a couple weeks, you know, after a couple weeks after the youth camp out, they went back to their old ways. But after a couple weeks, they said, you know what? We can't live without these servants washing our dishes and cleaning our floors and doing all this work for us. We're going to take them back. And they took them back. And the prophet Jeremiah said, you know what? If you would have kept your turning to righteousness, I would have delivered you from Nebuchadnezzar. You see, God is interested in action. He's interested in action. Wouldn't it be great if there was a revival of righteousness? Wouldn't it be great if there's a revival of right? You know what a revival of righteousness is? A revival of righteousness in which it is in which people love living a holy, godly, pure, unworldly, unlustful, unfleshly, uncarnal life. And they love it. Revival of righteousness. Think we got a revival of righteousness in our church? No, we don't. You just watch it. Not a revival of righteousness. It's a hatred of righteousness. Not in all cases, but in some, you can just see it. Righteous living. No, I'm going to push the button. I'm going to go as far as I can towards the world. Revival of righteousness. You seeing much of it? Very little, right? Was it always that way? It wasn't always that way, was it? He used to go to churches, and people were anxious to make decisions for God. People were anxious to get sin out of their life. People were anxious to get the world out of their home. Men were anxious to become the spiritual leaders. There's a big change going on. There's a big change going on. We need a revival. If they will turn from their wicked ways. Action. Action. God needs someone. He's going to stand up, repent, and stand for righteousness. That's what God needs. Revival of righteousness. The Bible says, when God sees this, when God sees this, He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. a perspective of where we're at. Revelation chapter 3. We have two great churches, or two churches mentioned here, that are very important to think about. We have the Church of Philadelphia. And the Church of Philadelphia is followed by the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Philadelphia was the missionary-minded church. It was the church that was sending out missionaries. It was the church that was sent, that the young people were giving their life to go to the mission field. It was a place where that was the normal thing. I think in history it's represented by the great missionary movement of people like Carey, Judson, and other great missionaries who opened up the continents for the gospel. They were the heroes. David Livingstone, Moffat, you name it. They were the heroes. But he said, kind of reading between the lines, he said, better hold on to it though. You better hold on to that spirit. It says in verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. Hold it fast. I think there's a principle here that applies. By God's grace, I intend to hold fast. You know what? Preachers tell me, other people say, hey, Pastor, don't you know that you're one of the few that still believes that women ought to dress like women? Do you realize that you're only one of the few preachers standing for that? And you know we're in the Noah's day, right? So young people say, well, you know what? Pastor, our church is one of the few churches that preaches that. Forget that. I'm going somewhere else. Doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. Doesn't have anything to do with right. God's people need to hold fast. They need to hold fast. And we need to hold fast. You know, there's a multitude of ways that you can compromise. And guess what follows? Compromise. Laodicean church. That's what follows it. The lukewarm makes God sick church. That's what follows. Not holding fast to that which is right. We need a revival of righteousness. Don't we, brother? We need a revival of righteousness. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. There's a need to be a new cry. We need God. We need God. There needs to be confession of sin and turning from worldliness. Revival of righteousness. There needs to be a revival of people seeking the face of God. You can go to the prophets. Amos said to Israel, "Seek ye the Lord and ye shall live." Well, why did he say that? Because they weren't seeking the Lord. Time of apostasy, people aren't seeking God. And you know, Nicole's testimony is great tonight, you know, because we can come to church. And we can come to church without seeking God. And if we don't repent from it, pretty soon, that's what our whole life's going to be like. And we will find that our pleasure in life will come from worldly entertainment, from movies, videos, sports, all that stuff that doesn't count. Because we lost the only satisfaction that there really is in life, the Lord Jesus. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see our country going down the tube? Do you see fundamentalism going down the tube? Do you see Christianity going down the tube? Do you see the zeal of people of God going less and less? You become see the church is becoming more and more secular. Do you see it? As an hour of urgency, we need revival. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive their sins. Then I will heal their land. I'd say it's a pretty obvious promise of how there can be real revival. Pretty obvious promise. But you know, the fact is how many of us really care? How many of us really care? How many of us really care about our country? And the Bible says the Christian is the salt of the earth and light of the world. I am convinced our country is going down the tubes because Christianity is going down the tubes. I like what John Getz used to say. He probably still says it. You know, it must be that people are more modest at the beaches nowadays. Because more people are going, no more Christians are going to the beach than ever before. Must be that the Hollywood has cleaned up its act because more people are going to the movie houses than ever, more Christians are going to the movie house than ever before. And we just go on and on. But that's the issue. If my people, which are called by my name, what does God want to do in our lives? What does God want to do in this church? Return unto the Lord, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. A revival of humility, praying, revival of righteousness, revival of seeking the Lord. The only answer and hope for our country, the people of God. Not the politicians, that's for sure. Only the people of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the simple truth of your word. Oh God. Oh God. How horrifying to think of what's happening to our country, but how horrifying as we see the love for godliness, the love for old-fashioned Christianity, the love for serving God, just seeing it evaporate. Lord, we need revival. Oh, God, we need revival. We call upon you tonight, Lord, to show every person what it is in their life that could be one little step turning back to righteousness that will get attention of thy being, O Lord. Lord, if Ahab could humble himself and you notice it, certainly, Lord, you could notice when the people of God get serious about you. And so, Lord, we're in a mighty needy spot. How you could change some hearts is beyond my human comprehension, but I know it's nothing for you. Lord, might you work. Might the people of God be your vessel that allows you to work. Lord, deliver our nation from this horrible, horrible wickedness in our capital, in our government, in our, now they are FBI. Oh God, deliver us from such wickedness. Oh God, could you show yourself great? Oh Lord, our nation needs to know that there is a living, holy God who sees all and knows all. Lord, the God who dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. Lord, the God who brought revival . Lord, you're still alive. We need you, Lord. We need you right here. Might you revive this work? We pray in Jesus' name.